I have a secret snack. When I'm hiking in damp, forested areas of the Chesapeake Bay watershed, I don't look to my backpack for a granola bar or trail mix. Instead, I look to the trees for a pawpaw. Growing in small colonies in areas like river valleys and the understory of hardwood forests, the pawpaw has long, pear-shaped leaves with pointed tips that have fine, white hairs on top and rusty-colored hairs on the underside. When crushed, these leaves smell oddly like green bell peppers. That's how I know for sure I've located the right tree. In late spring, the deciduous tree has small maroon flowers with velvety petals. But for a few weeks in early autumn, there are clusters of yellowish-green, mango-like berries that are 2 to 6 inches long. These fruits grow like bananas and have speckled, homely-looking skin, but inside is different. The sweet-smelling flesh has a creamy texture and tastes strongly tropical, sort of like a blend of papaya, banana, and pineapple. It's delicious. Each pawpaw fruit contains 10 to 14 brown, inedible, lima bean-shaped seeds, and the fruit's nutritional value exceeds that of apples, peaches, and grapes in vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Perfect for recharging while I'm hiking. The pawpaw is the largest edible fruit native to the United States, and it is the only member of the largely tropical custard apple family indigenous to our listening area. Their fruits are sometimes referred to as Indian bananas, custard bananas, or West Virginia bananas. But no matter what the name, everyone likes them. Pawpaws and nuts fed the Lewis and Clark expedition when their rations ran low on their return trip. Thomas Jefferson had pawpaws at Monticello. And from Michigan to West Virginia, people have even named towns and lakes after the humble pawpaw. The abundant fruit attracts bears, wild turkeys, and small mammals such as raccoons, squirrels, and opossums. In addition, zebra swallowtail butterfly larvae feed exclusively on pawpaw leaves. Deer are fond of the leaves too, but don't browse it as voraciously as they do many other woody plants. For humans, finding wild pawpaw can be like finding a frozen custard stand in the middle of the woods. So why have most people not heard of it? And why do I have to go hiking to get a taste of one, rather than picking one up at the grocery store? The answer is twofold. First, the wild fruit was once harvested, but the supply is now decreased greatly due to the clearing of forests. Second, ripe pawpaw fruits have a very short shelf life, just 3 to 5 days. This has made it very difficult for pawpaws to be sold in grocery stores, since they can't be transported to market quickly enough. Thanks to work by local plant scientist Neil Peterson, some pawpaws have been cultivated again and are being grown in a few orchards and sold at our local farmers' markets. Peterson's eventual goal is to have pawpaws available commercially. But until then, growing pawpaws in your backyard is a great way for you to enjoy this fruit. Pawpaws are low maintenance and, because they are native, there are very few issues with garden pests, making them great to plant using organic techniques. If you're not much of a green thumb, seek out the fruit in the wild like I do. Check Rock Creek Park, the CNO Canal National Historical Park, Wheaton Regional Park, Sugarloaf Mountain along Bear Branch and Bennett Creek, the Jug Bay Wetlands Sanctuary, or other parks along the Patuxent River. Or, thanks to a partnership with the Baltimore Orchard Project, check with us this summer for the location of transplanted trees around the listening area, including here at Irvine. To learn more, visit us online at www.explorenature.org/thenatureofthings. I'm Brooks Paternot, Executive Director of Irvine Nature Center, for WYPR, your NPR news station.